Welcome to Dark History Time with Brian. A few things before we get started. Need to let you know that you might find some of this material disturbing. We do use adult language on the show. Listener discretion is advised.
You know, you and I could talk for hours.
I know. and that's the way I get when I'm with my people, as I've told Austin before. Well, let me ask you this then. Austin, you'll need to remind me on the name of the place that you're interested in Kentucky. Is it Kentucky?
The Waverly Sanitarium.
What? No, not Waverly. It's supposed to be a portal to hell.
Bobby Mackey.
Bobby Mackey's. Have you ever heard of Bobby Mackey's?
Yep, not going.
My grandpa knew it.
Okay. Well, let's...
I get an overwhelming feeling of wrongness without even... I've been asked, and every time I'm about to say yes, I just get this overwhelming feeling that not a good idea.
Oh, really? So just being the state north of there and hearing the name, you have no interest in going there?
No, I don't. You know, there are some places that I really want to investigate, but I am somebody who basically I live a spiritual life, and there are those around me that guide me. And every once in a while, they will actually put a direct message in like, no, don't go, or think okay. Again, or turn left, not right. You know, when I get those messages, right. I listen. It usually turns out much better.
Okay. Well, let me ask you, are there other places that you've had that kind of feeling or reaction towards?
Yes, there's one on the outside of Chicago, and I'm trying to remember the name of the place, and I cannot remember the name of it, but I had gone with Ursula Bielski. We had gone on like a bus tour, and it was supposed to have a portal outside the house. And I was all ready to get off the bus. There was like three people behind me, and I was the fourth to the last one to get off the bus. And I got a very, very clear message of, no, don't go. I mean, it was those.
Okay.
It was loud in my head. No, don't go. And I said, excuse me. And I went and sat back down in my seat. And I didn't go for whatever the reason. No, everybody else came back. Not a problem. But for whatever the reason, they knew that if I had gone, something may have happened or I would have been experienced something. I listen. There are times that I haven't and I've been sorry. So.
Okay. Well, you had mentioned earlier Waverly Hills. I have not been there. I've seen pictures. I know.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like everybody has been there. What can you tell me about Waverly Hills?
First time I went, it was incredibly active. The second time I went, it was not as active. It was just okay. And I kind of think the spirits get to the point where, and I think this is for a lot of the places, they're bored. They're bored and they're tired of playing for, oh, can you make my lights light up on my K2? Or can you communicate with, oh my God, if you hear that crap every night, you're going to get bored too. So,
I was wondering, I mean, does it become like a burden of performance for them at some point?
Yeah. They're not performing monkeys, people. Stop asking them to be. So, no, the first time I was there, it was extremely active. My friend Karen had her SB11. It was the first time we used it there. If you're not familiar with an SB11, it's kind of like the radio where their belief is that the spirits can come through the white noise in between channels and stations, where an SB11 just goes, it's going so fast between the channels. If you actually hear a word or two come out, you've gone through 7, 9, 12 channels. It's not from any radio station. So we had used that. We were up on the fourth floor. We were out on one of the balconies. Now, this was a TB sanitarium at one time with the belief that sunshine cured TB. So people who had just come to the sanitarium usually put on the outside porch type rooms, and so that they would get as much sunshine as possible. As you get worse, you went to the inside room, then to the very inside room. That's usually the people who were getting ready to pass. So we were outside on one of the porches, and we could see in to the hallway and the other rooms. And we're both standing there using the SB-11, and they're talking, and we're asking some different things, and we're getting direct answers like the name of a doctor, how many are around us right now, 27. And it was wild that some of the answers were getting direct answers. Well, all of a sudden, as we're doing this, both Karen and I see physically with our eyes a female spirit of a nurse in period nurse clothing, complete with the white sleeve that goes halfway up to the elbow, you know, with the bigger white nurse's cap, the long gray dress with the white apron in the front. And she goes walking by, and she's walking by down the hallway, and Karen and I are like, oh, do you see that? Yeah, I see it. Oh my God. And then she just disappeared. Of course, neither one of us thought to pick up the camera that was sitting on her chest, you know, because we're so old over this.
Right. Sure.
And we instantly asked the SB-11. We just said, we just saw a ghost of a nurse go by. Who is that? It's Elizabeth. Hide, run, Elizabeth. Well, so we don't know whether they were hiding and running from Elizabeth for Elizabeth to find them. Don't know. We did find out later that one of the nurses that worked there was named Elizabeth. So, and I believe, and I cannot remember the doctor's name any longer because it's been several years since we've been there. The name of the doctor we got was one of the doctors that was there that treated people. So that was kind of cool to get confirmation, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's crazy.
Oh yeah. We've had other things like we were in the death tunnel and we didn't get much of anything, heard some, you know, scrabbling around. We kind of put that down to rats and mice and bats, but someone was getting ready to leave because they come around 4 a.m. and said, okay, your time is just about up. And they were packing up one of those camp chairs. And if you've ever had a bigger camp chair, trying to put it back in that stupid little container that it came in, well, the woman that was doing it was really, really struggling to get it in. And they heard from the other end of the tunnel somebody go like laughing because this woman was having such a hard time getting it in there. And they not only got it on EVP, but they got it on video. So that was kind of cool. Oh, they got back up there for that. So different things like that. I experienced Big Black. Big Black was a very, very, I don't know whether it's a conglomeration of spirits or a spirit that is just spread out, but it's like a, have you ever been somewhere ghost hunting where the room starts to get darker and darker and dark for no reason, just starts getting, to the point you can barely see the lights on your equipment or your flashlight. It kind of comes closer to you because it's not able to pierce that darkness anymore. Well, Big Black is like that because you could be at one end of the hallway and the hallway at the other end will get darker and darker and darker. And then you realize it's not just down there. It's coming towards you as it comes down the hallway. And it kind of reminds me of Harry Potter because when it does pass through you, you get, there's just emotionally, you want to cry. You just feel despondent. You feel depressed. And then it passes. And then you're just like, and that feeling's gone. So that's what Big Black does. And it's just a huge big black shadow that just roams the hallways. Or gathers in corners and fills the room. So it's wild.
Is there a consensus as to what that is?
No. Nobody's been able to do that yet. I don't know. The only feeling I got was despondent, despair, ending. That was, I mean, those were the words I could put to it. That was it. So I don't know if it's a single spirit or multiple spirits that just, in a sense, have conglomerated together because they no longer remember why they're there or they don't want to. And that's why they're just together. So don't know. The other thing we encountered there was a, if you guys have ever heard of a wall walker, There's the things that look like shadows. They literally peel out of the shadows and they come either across the ceiling or down the walls. Creeper, wall walker. The first time I was there, experienced one. And we had learned from someone else the very first time I'd actually seen one was at another site. She yelled at it and said, "You will walk on 2 feet." So when I saw it at Waverly, I and another person both said, "You will walk," like the commanding voice. And it dropped from right. the ceiling like a big spider, hit the floor, and then just melted into the floor. We're like, "Oh God, we're never doing that again." That was just creepy.
Wow.
But to see this thing coming at you. So the second time I go, I asked and they said, "Oh yeah, it's actually been getting really active and actually kind of nasty." I said, "What do you mean?" And the guy tried repeatedly to bring up a picture that was on the Waverly computer at that time. Was a group that had just been there the month before and they wanted their picture taken within Waverly. And there are people there that help to attend throughout the night. They don't let you just roam there by yourself. They just every once in a while will come through and let you know that they're still there. Took a picture of the group. Well, when they put it on the laptop or put it on the computer, there was the creeper hanging from the ceiling, literally inches away from a woman's face with its mouth open. And you could see black, dark teeth because it's literally shadow-like. And it kind of almost moves oily-like, like you know, like oil moves in water. But imagine that on a ceiling. The second time I went, there were new people that were not – they were newer to Waverly but also newer to ghost hunting. And I agreed to escort them, and we were up on the third floor. And Waverly is like half – it's got three sides, and we were kind of going through two of the hallways. We're getting ready to go down the third one, and I had one of those flashlights that you can concentrate and make a smaller beam, and it's brighter.
Right.
And I did it to the other end of the hallway just to check because you always want to make sure you're not going to run into anything or something has fallen because these places are older. I did that very quick just to check. And as I did that, I noticed very end of the hallway, big shadow in the corner, and I saw the creeper peel out of it. And for the very first time ever, this thing is not just crawling towards us. It's galloping towards us. Mm-hmm. I was like, "Oh, that's not good." So I grabbed the two newbies' right. hands, and I said, "We're going back to base. It's time for a break." They're like, "Well, we want to finish the hallway." I said, "Nope, now's a good time for a break." They didn't question, thank God. And I took them back to base, and then they said, "Okay, what's up?" And I told them, they're like, "Oh, we want to go back." I'm like, "Okay."
Right. So,
yeah, there are things there. There are spirits there. I've gotten some pictures I can't explain away and just experiences and being able to hear sometimes what sounds like whispering in your ear, but you can't quite make out what they're saying. Kind of, and that, you know, you're like, "What was that?" You know, so I love Waverly, great place to go. Hope it's a little more active now because they've been shut down for a while for COVID. But my understanding is they're now back open, so worth the money if you can get 10 people.
Okay,
10 people is a good amount. You can spread out because it's pretty big. So yeah.
And then I cannot recall the name, but it's in Ohio. And I know you told me you've been there. I think it's the one where Shawshank Redemption was filmed.
Yes, the prison. Oh, my gosh. Ohio State Reformatory, OSR. Yes,
there we go.
Mansfield. Okay. Yes. Been there. That's been there a couple times. I have not investigated. Again, it was for a Paracon. So.
Okay. And nothing jumped out at you even during that time?
Oh, yeah. No. There was stuff that happened.
No.
Yeah.
Okay.
The first year I went, and that's the people go, "Well, why don't you do the investigations later?" I'm like, "People, I just spent 9-10 hours here with the spirits.
Sure.
I'd like to go home and get some sleep because I'm done."
Right.
They're there. People always think you can only ghost hunt at night. Wrong. You can ghost hunt during the day. They're there during the day just like they are during the night. You're just more willing to accept them at night because you believe that's when they're there.
Sure. And I was going to say, I mean, you and I both know Robin that owns Ashmore. And yeah, Robin Robin has daytime hunts all the time, investigation.
Yep. Yeah.
And I think recently he posted that it was more active during the day than it had been at night.
Yeah, they don't get any people coming in during the day. I did one probably about 2 months ago, Monroe House in Indiana, the one that's connected to the old Hartford City Jail. And that was a daytime investigation. What's cool about the Monroe House is even though it's daytime, they have blackout stuff around the windows. They did that purposely because there were so many people doing investigations at night that the neighbors would call the cops all the time and say, hey, there's somebody in there. And there were times that there were no investigators in there, but they still saw people walking past the windows and saw lights.
Oh.
You know, and the cops got tired of trying to figure out what was there. So they had the owner put up like blackout stuff. So it's kind of cool. So even though it's a daytime investigation, it is dark in there. Like I said, again, I think your mind's more willing to see and accept when it's darker. But yeah, they're there during the day too. Yeah, Monroe House is a good one to go to.
Okay. I was thinking of this when you were describing some of these things. And so I have to ask if you've seen this movie first.
Okay.
The Frighteners, Michael J. Fox.
I don't know if I have. 90s.
Okay. The reason I ask is I was wondering how close it was. I know most movies aren't close to reality, but I was wondering if they had maybe talked to somebody that helped them get it right. Because Michael J. Fox can converse with...
I did see that one. Yes, I did. I don't remember all of it, but yeah, I remember that. Yeah, you don't always see spirits dead on like he did in that movie. Okay. Sometimes they come to me and they are just their voice. Other times they are quiet and I can't see them, but they send me, or I understand by being around them, the little pictures. Like maybe I'll see their brown hair and their black leather shoes and their favorite belt or their favorite jacket. And yeah, I see 100 pictures and I got to put them together in my head to figure out what this person looks like. So it just depends.
So that might have been a little bit of Hollywood trying to help us understand, but the idea of them coming to him, whether it was convenient for him or not, is that pretty much the case?
Yeah, that's pretty much true. You can set boundaries,
and then
they don't always listen.
And then the dark one that he feels like he can't figure out if it's death or not, but it's up in the air. It has the long black cloak.
Yeah.
Ultimately, it reveals later that it's something else, but he couldn't pick out what it was.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the case from time to time as well, I assume, where there's something there, but you don't know exactly what it is?
Yeah, there are things out there that I have come in contact with or have seen or experienced that being somebody who has worked with spirit for so many years, that there are things I have come in contact with that I cannot explain. There are some things I've been in contact with, I can say they've never been born. So there are things on the other side. Sometimes they are here, sometimes they're not. Sometimes they ignore you, and other times they possibly could harm, I guess. But it just depends upon the situation and where you're at. I make it a point to try and respect everything, whether it's living or dead.
So. Sure. And that takes me one more place that I can think of for today. And I've listened to a podcast or two on this, but I am not well researched on it. So forgive me for that. If you know more, I assume you probably do know more about this, but Skinwalker Ranch.
I have not been there. I've seen some of the show. I've listened to some different radio shows with some of the different people who have written different books about it. Some believe that it is the radioactive area that's less than, what did they say? Less than 40 miles away? And it's more further uphill or something. And they believe that some of the radioactivity may have traveled down, and whether that's causing the problems, I don't know. There are a lot of Native American boogeymans, in a sense, that don't understand because, well, it's not our culture or our nature. So we don't always understand what's out there. There are things that they believe and they understand that we do not. So I don't know. I don't know what it is. I couldn't give you an answer. Do I think there's something really creepy going on there? Yeah. Do I think there's also people who are maybe making things happen for attention? Possibly. So, but I think there's something creepy there, and they're taking it to the 10th degree to get that next season out of it.
I gotcha. And so have you ever heard of something from behind the veil, so to speak, coming back and causing bodily harm to not just humans, but to livestock and things of that nature as well? I mean, is that a real thing?
Something from the other side, or something that is not human or has never been human. Yes, I've actually experienced something like that that caused harm, but never anything that caused animals harm.
Okay. So when they out there, when they talk about the livestock being ripped apart, that doesn't...
I don't know. I mean...
Okay.
Are there aliens out there on vacation that want to know what makes things tick? I don't know. I really don't know. Okay. It could be anything that's out there. There are so many different theories between it being Native American and things possibly being from, you know, aliens to scientific creatures that got away, you know, experiments. We don't know. And until we find something that we're able to explain, we won't know. So, nope, don't have a whole lot of information about that one.
And I said that was the last one, but then I realized I had something else for you.
That's okay.
Okay. And this is going to play a little bit into some stuff that Austin and Sage both know about and I've always found fascinating. The famous crossroads, where you can meet the devil and sell your soul. Any thoughts on that?
Well, when it comes to the voodoo or voodoo lifestyle, those who live it, those who are part of it, Papa Legba is basically in a sense you would say the god of the crossroads. So when you come to a point in your life where you have to make a decision and you literally just don't know which way to go, that would be, or if you're about to venture into something new and you don't know whether it should be now or later, again, a crossroads. Papa Legba is the person that you would call on. Of course, they ask for things like liquor, he likes gin. Mm-hmm. That you would put out, maybe some candles and some other stuff. So, you know, nothing comes for free. So, but about the devil and the demon, I don't know. I think it's more, I've never had any experience with anything like that. So that is kind of something I really don't know about. I kind of think it's more superstition than anything else.
I mean, yeah, it has this legendary status, and I think the last one, that, or the only one that a lot of people know about, and we're going back to the 20s, is Robert Johnson. You know, he could apparently just pluck a little bit on a guitar. His whereabouts are unknown for, I think, 2 to 3 years, and then he comes back, and he's a guitar virtuoso. And he wrote the song Crossroads, and he referenced selling his soul in a number of his songs. So, and, you know, Hellhounds on His Heels. He references that, and he only lived to be 27 years old, so I know that plays into it, but you have that period of time that nobody knew where he was at. Nobody knows what happened during that point in his life. And I do know one person. He's actually been a guest at the convention before, and maybe if we have time this year, he can tell you the story, and I'll let him tell it because he's far better at it because he lived it. David Thibodeau, being a musician, he went to the crossroads. He researched the shit out of it. He found the exact crossroads, which he told me is not – everybody thinks it's a four-way intersection. He's like, it's a three. It's a T intersection.
Okay.
And he wanted to get some dirt from there. But the evening they were there, things happened that don't really have a good explanation. And like I said, I'll let him tell the story because it gave me goosebumps. And I guess I could just see it. And he wasn't going there expecting anything either. There was more paying an homage to what the legend is. And then all of a sudden these things happen, and he was just like, okay, yeah, we're done here.
Well, let me ask you a question then. Do you believe that, just say anybody who was coming down that road at midnight, wasn't really aware of where it was or what it was, are they going to have more of an experience than somebody who has researched it, know about it, and is specifically going to pay homage or to see if something happens? Who do you think is going to have more of an experience? Who's going to be more open to it?
Me being the psychologically minded person that I am, mm-hmm. I think the person that knows the lore and has done the research is going to have a bigger experience, but I think some of that might also be because they want that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know how we can kind of sometimes in our mind make it to where this is how it's going to be, so we fill in gaps to make it that way.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I think that would be the case.
I think it's partly that, and then I also think that there are people who are just going to be more open to it. I always hear these people say, oh, ghosts aren't real. I went ghost hunting. Nothing ever happened. There are so many people that are against it or don't believe in it, and that's fine. But you also got to remember, it's not going to be like it is on Hollywood. They're not going to pick you up and spin you in circles and put you back down. Sometimes it's just the feeling of wet cobwebs on your arm. You're like, ew, what is that? Looking for the spider web and realizing there's none there. Sometimes it's something tiny. Okay. But if you study it and you learn and you find out, oh, well, that could have been a ghost that brushed up against me. Maybe that's how I'm feeling it. You're able to pick up more and more signals and information with studying, with having that knowledge versus somebody who just goes, yeah, okay, I'm waiting for them to come to me. Yeah, nothing happened. Again, if you're being negative too, who wants to hang out with somebody who's negative? So, you know.
that makes sense. And that's why when I did visit Bachelor's Grove, I felt like I was kind of open. I wasn't like, oh, I'm going to see this stuff. But I was like, if I see something, then I would give it some credence. So I thought that I was open to that idea. But there again, I didn't see or feel anything. But then, but on the flip side of that coin is like we were talking about Columbine. I mean, I felt that stuff. I mm-hmm. went to where Richard Speck murdered the nurses. And when I'm standing there, I can see the whole scene unfold in front of my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
But and I know a lot of that leads to the research and you're open to that idea, but you still have to, that film still has to play in your mind. And that's what I've always described it as, is a film playing in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
As I
So who's to say it isn't a little bit of both? That your recollection of the information you've gathered and the experiences that are buried there and the two mixing together and it comes to you like that.
I don't suppose anybody is. And I never would have thought about that. So here again, yet another reason that I love talking to you.
I will say, from when I started ghost hunting, 18 years ago, I joined a ghost hunting group in the beginning to learn. I noticed and watched people who they had no gift, no ability. Over the time of 8 years, by the end of the 8 years when I had left the group, these people were starting to feel, hear, and see spirit, not because they expected it, but because they had become more used to it and they started to pick up on the energies. They would go into a home and go to do an investigation and they're like, wow, it feels really heavy in here. Something is going. So that you start picking up those clues. So the more you're around it, the more you do it, you start being able to understand it, feel it, see it. So again, sometimes it's just time that you need.
Okay. I was going to say, just as a surprise to both myself and maybe the audience, if they care, have I gotten any better or worse at anything in the time that you've known me?
oh yeah, you're much more open and willing to, even if you don't believe in it or don't believe you're going to see it or experience it, you're open to it. Where before, not that you were closed to it, but you really wanted a whole hell of a lot more facts before you were willing to accept. You're at least willing to be open to it.
So I'm a little better.
You are a little better.
And that's all we can hope to be, is to better ourselves, right?
Exactly. Hey, we're energies, we're spirit here in this lovely little skin suit to have these experiences and knowledge and before we go back. So that's what we're here for.
All right. Well, I want to give you the chance because I plug my stuff at the end of the show. And I know we mentioned it earlier. And I don't recall if I told you, because I know that you experienced a big loss recently, and I didn't want to get too much into that. I didn't know Chris nearly as well as you did, but that, I mean, I even felt it, and I've only talked to him a couple times on the phone. But the show that we did, I guess 2 weekends ago now, there was one person that told me that my hat was the coolest fucking thing at the whole show. And so I pointed everybody your way. So Tina Marie Ronan, Heirloom Haberdashery, is what?
Heirloom Haberdashery is a company that I own and run, and I make steampunk and themed and elegant hats and apparel and jewelry. So you can find it on Facebook. Just Heirloom Haberdashery. Look me up. I also have another company that's called Nature's Earthwear. That's also where my Reiki and my shamanism will be and are. But that's also where I do like the metaphysical jewelry and gear, you know, like pendulums and that kind of stuff. And again, that is on Facebook, and it's Nature's Earthwear, W-A-R-E. My last company is Three Sisters Smudging. We create custom smudge sticks for people who need them for special occasions to special interests. Like we have one for people to cleanse themselves after a ghost investigation. We have ones that we are doing now for Samhain and for Yule. So we do all kinds of different smudge sticks, and it's not just sage, it's different types of sage, different herbs and trees, and a lot of that stuff we get right from our own properties. So we know it's safe, we dry it ourselves, and then we wrap it up. And I have many different customers that call and say, I just had one this past weekend for the first time, said, we want a smudge stick so that we can see fairies. I'm like, okay, let me research that and let's see what we can come up with. So we now have one that's going to be coming out called Fairy Sight.
Oh, nice. I was going to say, I do, although I don't understand the cleansing part as much, when I see that you post the bundles, I wonder if some of those are for an aesthetic look as well as functionality. Is that?
They are. There are some that are just, I mean, they all function. There are people like, oh my God, this one's got roses and baby's breath. It's so beautiful. I don't want to burn it. You don't have to. There are a lot of people that take them, put them on their dashboard. And then when the sun hits them, or in a windowsill, or on a fireplace mantle, and when the heat hits them, the aromas and the stuff from the different herbs kind of fills the room or the car. So it's the same thing. Just like there are different gemstones for birthdays, they have metaphysical meanings. So do herbs. And let's face it, before we had all the things we have now, way back when, you know, we were berry pickers, and so we picked herbs and stuff like that. So,
yeah, because some of those bundles I've seen, I just think they look great. I don't have any purpose other than how they look.
Yeah, there's one that we're doing. We just came out with about a month ago called Vision Quest. Literally helps you get set so that while it's burning, you could literally drop down into the zone and go on a vision quest. And the herbs help you to relax and to literally dream or to go within. And that's what these herbs do. Oh, wow. There are herbs that do that.
Okay.
And no, it's not cannabis. It's something else.
Right. Well, I was going to say back in the days, that was either Sweat Lodge to do that,
Exactly.
A combination of the Sweat Lodge and peyote, and or some, it seems, Sitting Bull. Everybody thinks Sitting Bull was this giant warrior. Sitting Bull was a medicine man.
Mm-hmm.
His vision of the Battle of Little Bighorn, I mean, he envisioned the soldiers coming in, I believe, from the east side of the camp, and that happened to be the way they came. I mean, that built his medicine even bigger, because everybody's like, wow, he got this exactly right. But a lot of people, and early on when I started looking into him, that's what I thought. I thought Sitting Bull was just a chief and a warrior. I didn't realize he had medicine, and I didn't realize his medicine was as strong as it was. And that's something, I mean, I'm always about education. That's why I like having you on and talking to you about things, and I'm sure that I'm going to come up with some other things that I want to hit on with you. So I'm sure that I'll have you back on again. I will, yeah, because I tend to ramble when I don't have a list. But you know this about me, so we so we make this work.
I love you for who you are.
And I love you, and I can't thank you enough for this. I look forward to more. I always pitch the convention on here, so the convention's coming up October 23rd. Tina will be there in person with a lot of product, because Tina Marie doesn't believe in bringing one table full of stuff when you can bring five or six tables worth of stuff.
Yeah,
so she will be there with a lot of her wares.
Can't miss me. I'll have purple hair with a vanilla swirl in the front of my head.
That's right. Purple and vanilla swirl. Tina Marie, thank you once again for coming on.
Always.
You helped me out. You've made my evening even better than it was going to be on its own. I always feel that way after I talk to you, is that the day just got better. So I appreciate that.
Not a problem. Anytime.